Missions, did you choose to accept it?
I do.
Is this anthem or intro? I'm going to pray real quick, guys. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back. My short sister's gone, so I'll raise this up. Very excited to be home after a long, long trip. Ashley is set to be back on August 21st, and then she'll be back the rest of the year. I'll be here two Sundays, including today, and then I'm going to go visit her over there, be gone for another couple Sundays, and then back for the rest of the year. Anyhow, we'll get started. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I am reminded of how busy life can get, how we can be beaten down with fatigue from constantly hustling. And I'm reminded this morning, having been gone, that you are the salve, that you are the charge, that you are the hope, that you lift us up, that you give us strength, Lord God. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God. We thank you for your strength. And we ask you to fill us up this morning with more energy, with more love in our hearts for the world. Come now, Lord Jesus, move amongst us. Fill us with your spirit. Open our minds to truth. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Triumphs of his grace. My My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Thank you. Good morning. We're going to sing a hymn together. And that hymn is 45. If you have the strength, please stand with me. Hymn number 45. Sure.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die.
Key change.
Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him, him from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, thou endless days, adored and magnified.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God. me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
We're going to stand and sing some praise. Oh, once we get the slides going. Very briefly.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. That you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven's word to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Draw me day by day to your presence, O Lord, and let your Holy Spirit flow through me. Restore unto me all of the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Created me a clean heart.
Created me a clean heart.
Be seated.
We're picking up with Acts chapter 14 as we make our way through the New Testament. Todd, good to see you, man. Nice. Acts chapter 14, acceptance and opposition. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. At Lystra, a man who was sitting, who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he fixed his gaze on him, had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. This kind of thing in the scripture is often difficult to wrap your mind around. So they stoned him, okay, they thought he was dead, they dragged him out, and then he got up. So you have to imagine a large crowd throwing large boulders until a person goes unconscious and is broken up, you know, and usually their head broken up and all kinds of things. So when they stoned you to death, you were really destroyed and almost always dead. And so these kinds of miracles, it bears taking the time to ponder what it meant and what it would have looked like. Supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in their faith and saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. And we'll pick up with chapter 15 next week.
Good morning, everyone. So good to have my brother back. Love it. We don't have him long, Hector. He's going to Hawaii. So we're going to have to say aloha, hello, and then aloha, the other meaning goodbye. Soon. I had a lunch with a friend this week because I'm on summer break, and it was so good to see her. And you know, left to my own devices, I'm a day by day do the same thing, right? Wake up, yell at my kids for not cleaning their room, play video games, read, work out. The end. Repeat. And so I've been trying to like do better about reaching out and making those connections, right? Because time just passes us by, right? Anyhow, it was really good, and we had fun, and we had a good meal, and we were talking about things of higher meaning. This person is also very serious about their search for truth in the gospel, and we were talking about like open theism. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's pretty complicated. I haven't studied it a whole lot, so I don't fully get it myself, but let me see if I can ramble through this. So it's kind of like John Calvin and his predestination, the idea that those who have accepted Jesus Christ go to heaven and those who have not, well, tough luck. But since God knows all things, then he already knows who has done and who has not done. Therefore, those who accept Jesus into their hearts were predestined to do it. Which kind of sucks for everybody else. Meaning, like, if you were going to hell, like, it was always going to be like that. Luke could never turn Vader. Vader is going to be bad, and that's the end. You burn for forever. And so, you know, Christians have wrestled with this. What does it mean? If God knows all things, which of course he does, then are we all destined? Was I destined to have my kids when I had them, to do the thing, to come, or is there some kind of random chaos that God just knows all of the infinite possibilities. And so she was talking about this idea of, dynamic providence, meaning that God, knowing all things, does know the future. However, God can choose to not see it, or something of that to that effect, that he can know and unknow things, therefore opening the idea that any possible eventuality could happen. And as my eyes started to cross, she decided to change topics because I was like, I don't get it. The reason that I say all of this is, A, I thought it was interesting, and B, our journey is our own. It has to be that way. There is no thing that I could say up here that would unlock. There's wisdom that I might have, that I might be speaking that witnesses to you. But your journey has to be yours. My journey has to be mine, and it has to work out that way. And I believe that that's good and right and true. I have a friend who I've spoken about before who's a good person, and they try to do good things, and they hate Christianity. And the reason they hate Christianity is because of all of the things that the church has done. Every preacher who gets caught cheating on his wife and embezzling money from the church makes us all look bad, right? Every Catholic priest doing terrible things makes us all look bad. And so she has seen all of those things, the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Salem witch trials, and she's painted us all with that brush. And she's throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? Because the church isn't the gospel. And I wanted to start today that history lesson kind of looking at that idea. I was reading about the Great Schism. We've talked about Constantine ad nauseum. I'm not going to bore Brennan with that anymore. But there's one Christian church in the medieval era until about the year 1050. And you have two centers of power, the Pope in Rome and the Patriarch in Constantinople. And just as Constantine had divided the Roman Empire into West and East, the church had kind of been divided under that influence. As the Western Empire falls apart to the Goths and the Vandals and the Lombards and all them, but the East stays. And so the Western church has the idea that they're descended from Peter. So they've got that chip whenever somebody says, why should I listen to you? Hey, Peter, bro. But Constantinople has the idea that we're still Romans. We're wearing togas and going to the theater and stuff like that. But they disagree on a number of things, as into who can tell who, what, when, and where. And one of the things that brings about the schism or breaking of the church is this idea of iconoclasm. We used to have a Jewish church or synagogue come in here and pay, and they would worship here before we would come in. You know, way to keep the lights on. And whenever they would do it, they would have to cover up the crucifix. Right? And because in established religion, symbols are very important. So if you look at our church, we just have the cross. But if we were at a Catholic church, there would be somebody on that cross. Right? And that's the difference between a cross and a crucifix. Jesus would be hanging. But the Bible says, thou shalt not make graven images. Meaning, you can't have people. You can't have pictures of things, like living things. That would be called an icon. So the Greek church says, dude, you can't have all of these statues with people and things because you're breaking the rules of the commandments. And the Western Roman Empire says, that's the Lord who died for our sins. And they get so upset at each other that they excommunicate one another. The Pope says, you're not a good Christian and you're going to hell. And the Greek patriarch says, no, you're not a good Christian, you're going to hell. And they have held that stance for 1,000 years to this very day, this morning. They're excommunicating each other. Ridiculous. But it permeates all things, this idea of our structured church. And I'm going to try and explain it a little bit really quickly before I get into the meat. The Bible cannot be our only answer. The Holy Spirit must take precedent. Because the Bible, when it was written, the men who wrote it had different viewpoints. They lived in a different world. If I went up to Habakkuk and said, "Dude, this book is lit," he would not understand what I'm saying because he doesn't speak English and has no idea what lit is. The Jews, the Israelites, when they take the land of Canaan, there were people living there. The Phoenicians and the Canaanites believed in sacrifice. To sacrifice something is to give up something you love to God. I love God so much that I'm going to give him my PlayStation 5. For you, that may not be a thing, but for me, that's like, I really got to pray about this, my man. I'm giving it to him because I'm showing, I tell my kids all the time, you can say you love me, your actions show me that you love me. I show you I love you every day by providing for you, by caring for you, right? So saying you'll clean your room is meaningless. The action of cleaning your room is showing that you love. So the sacrifice of giving the thing up. So animals were often used because animals, today we use coins and cash and checking, but back then animals were the currency. Food was the currency. So if you have a cow, that cow can pull your plow. It can give you milk. You could kill it and eat its bits and parts. So to give that up to the gods was like a big sacrifice. And so there's this ritual that grows up around sacrificing a thing to the gods. I love my PS5, as we have established, but there is nothing in this world, not even my mother, whom I love, there's nothing that I love more than my children. So what is the biggest sacrifice that I could give? Would be to give one of my children to God. Kill them dead. Sorry, Jude, I don't make the rules. In the land of Canaan, the Phoenicians practiced child sacrifice. When they dug up Carthage, right next to the temple adjacent, there was this tomb filled with hundreds of small skeletons. So here comes the Israelites, and they come in. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all from that same area. Right? Then the Old Testament is established, and guess what is in there? Abraham's been sacrificing cattle. He makes a big sign. He cuts the cattle in half, puts both the dead parts of the... and he walks through making proclamations. But then he gets this idea in his head. Cattle's not enough, dude. I gotta really show the Lord that I love him and that I'm willing to give up anything. And in comes the idea of sacrificing his son. Fortunately for him, as he's about to kill his son, he finds the ram tangled up in the weeds, right? Hundreds of years later, we have this idea that God, in order to keep his righteousness, must sacrifice. But what could be the best? We're going to sacrifice a PS5 for the sin of gods? For the sin of all human beings? That's not good enough. Going to sacrifice Jude for the sin? That's not good enough. What is the best thing? The Son of God. Blameless. The pure white lamb. You kill him, and then we all put his blood on us. And now we are like him. It's the same thing. Products of their environment. The wisdom in the book is good. There's lots of good stuff in here, but the Holy Spirit is what's required. Because the world that I live in today, I don't need to worry about, hey man, do I got to kill all my oxen? Or can I just kill some of them? I don't own any oxen. That question is a moot point for me. I need help in my day and age. So I need a Holy Spirit. I need a guide that's specifically tailored to me. Is tweeting out things about Donald Trump, is that a sin? Am I going to read in 1 Corinthians, thou shalt not make graven images of politics? That makes sense. The world that I live in requires more specific instruction. The wisdom that I need is more nuanced than how should a slave treat their master. And I'll give you a few kind of examples of this. And I would also point out, I don't like to attack the church too much. I try to only do so in as much as it's try to prove the point that the Holy Spirit is not the answer instead of the institution. That makes sense? The people who adhere to a traditional theology are good people who are trying to make their way in this world. And I don't mean to belittle them or to scoff at them. However, I do mean to grow past that. And so if I have to point out inconsistencies in order for my own journey, then I will do that. That makes sense? I don't want to come up here and be like those idiots and their stupid thoughts and beliefs. But the Holy Spirit, if we had already figured everything out, then Jesus would be back and we'd all be in heaven. If the answer was already done, then what's even the point? The answer has not come completely, so we must continue to search. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 26. This is the Old Testament. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves, for I am the Lord. That verse has caused all kinds of consternation about tattoos. So the devil has us thinking and judging and dividing ourselves on who has tattoos and who doesn't. And as long as we're looking at those kinds of superficial things, we're not looking in on our own work that needs to be done. And I've seen Christians singing praise who are sleeved up. I don't believe that's a sin. But if you're going to pick and choose a la carte, how come that one gets to be thrown out, but other ones we got to keep? Moving to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. This one's for Jude. The women are to keep silent in the churches. That's a joke. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. I double dare somebody to say that to one of my sisters. Let me know how that works out for you. At the time of that writing, women were treated as objects to be gifted to one another. You're a political house, and you want to make peace with another political house? How are you going to make sure that they'll keep their promise? You give your daughter to their son. That seals the alliance. Is that the world I'm living in now? Jude grows up and gets married? Can it, Judy? You got questions? Ask your husband. Do you see what I'm saying? The chapter before that verse, Paul talks about love. He says there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew. That's the Holy Spirit. I know it because I feel it. I know it because the Holy Spirit that's in me, that was in him, connects and says, that's right. And when I read this that says that a woman needs to be quiet and listen to a man, the Holy Spirit that's in me says, that's not right, Gabe. That's not right. So when I read that thing about tattoos, the Holy Spirit says, that's not right. You don't need to worry about that. The Holy Spirit, that's the answer. That's why Jesus died. Not so that we can bathe in his blood, like Silence of the Lambs. So that he could send me the thing that I need. The thing that tells me when I am doing right and when I am doing wrong. But it only works when I actively search for it. I came in this morning, as usual, with a cloud of things over my head. Bills and taxes and children and morality. And none of it had to do with cattle or sacrifice. I need the Holy Spirit to answer each one of those questions for me. My father sometimes, I don't know how mom dealt with it. He'd be like, Gaby, I'm not watching the Lakers anymore. What? I know they're bad, but come on, Dad. In his search, he was trying to find out the minutia. Does watching the Lakers make me angry and irritated and take me out of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Does the time I spend watching the Lakers and saying, catch the ball, you idiot, does that take away from time that I could be spending with my wife or children? To us, that may seem like, who cares, man, I got bigger fish to fry. But for a man like him, that's where he was at. I'm not there yet, but I will tell you that I was playing Elden Ring earlier this week. It's an awesome game, you should check it out. And the Holy Spirit said, your daughter's in the other room playing on her phone. You should go and spend some time with her, dude. Does that mean that my video games are a sin? No, but that's an example of the Holy Spirit that's tailor-made to Gabriel Frazier. Harjeet may not have to worry about, am I playing too many video games? But I do. That's why I need the Holy Spirit crafted, designed for me, for Hector, for Connie. That's why reading a book is not the only way I can get there. I need more help, and I need to have the courage to listen to it. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you can feel that nagging. I should eat a little better. I should work out a little bit more. I should pay more attention to my spouse. I should A, B, and C. I should forgive my boss. I should all of those things. Hearing the voice, the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and having the courage to act on it, that is the gospel that will lead us into all truth. It'll lead us past whether or not tattoos are okay. The Bible talks about homosexuality. At the time, having enough people in your village to fight off the people that might come and kill you and take all your stuff was a real big problem. So procreation was a real big problem. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still worried about that. I don't need that kind of lesson. Do you understand what I'm saying? God loves everyone the same. The end, period. And yet the church walks around with signs worried about that. And my friend at Trader Joe's sees that and says, you idiots! And she paints me with the same brush as them. You understand? That's why we need it. They wrote it, God said it, and that's the end of it. That's the lie. To be able to take solace in the fact, well, the rest of you suckers are doomed, but I'm good, requires little to no effort. And it perpetuates the thing that has kept us where we are for thousands of years. I accepted Jesus in my heart when I was in this room when I was 6 years old. And then I proceeded to make my life miserable. Is that the end? That's the truth. I already said it. I needed more than that. Yes, I need salvation. Yes, I want to go to heaven and see my family again. But in addition to, I had ice cream last night when I got home from work, Donna. I couldn't help it. Like, my brain was telling me, dude, don't do this. You're going to feel like garbage in the morning. It's even more real than that, Brennan. I had chocolate lava cake with ice cream last night. And I ate it like quietly, like Gollum, because I thought Jude's going to come in and want some of it. So I was like, dang it. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, oh, my tummy hurts. Does that mean that I'm a sinner who goes to hell? No, but the voice that was saying, maybe not chocolate lava and ice cream at 12:30 at night before you go to bed. In the little things, it guides me. In the grander things, whom does God love? All people, the Holy Spirit says. And I say, that's right. Should I play fewer video games and spend more time with your children? Yes, you should. That's right. Should I eat ice cream right before bed? No, you should not. Maybe Jude can. Maybe Clara can. But I can't. I need it tailored to my own. I need it more than just the words on a page. There are good words in here. We should read it and study it and pray over it. But this is not it. It's not the only thing. And we got to have the courage to know when the Holy Spirit is telling us to do something, to do it. The devil's design for Daniel Mabuse is not the same as it is for Gabriel Frazier. He's going to try to attack him in a way that he's not going to try to attack me. Therefore, his defense needs to be different than my defense. That's why the tool has to be for me. Has to be for you. But the wisdom is only given when it is sought out. And that's the whole issue. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time devoting. It's difficult in our workaday world to spend time seeking, but it's so utterly important because the peace of mind that we want, the happiness, the health in our bodies, the strengthened relationships, they're all possible. They're right there. We just got to take it. We got to take it through our dedication the same way a person trying to learn guitar can't 80s montage through it. They have to sit down every day or every other day and learn it. We got to sit down. The things that are bad for us are so easy. That ice cream scooped itself. Yet when I want to make a vegetable smoothie or a salad, I don't have the candied walnuts, can't make it. I'll just have the ice cream. The things that are good for us are so difficult. We must have the courage, once we hear it, to follow it. Because the Holy Spirit is faithful. My friend was talking, that I was talking to about all these, she was thinking, she asked me, I was praying about the first chapter of Corinthians 13. What does it mean when it says God, when love hopes all things, believes all things? I don't know what it means, but for me it means that no matter how many times I eat ice cream at midnight, the Holy Spirit will remind me every single time because it hopes and believes that I will be better. That I will learn that lesson. That I will be able to drive home without punching the ceiling of my car. I'm not that bad anymore. I'm getting better. But it believes that I will progress. I don't have that same hope and belief all the time. I make assumptions about people and things and situations and ideas. And when they play out that way, I knew it. That's what separates the Holy Spirit from me. That's why I gotta have it. It will happen with the work and the courage. Your situation can be improved, even if it's already good, which I believe that it is. By listening to the Holy Spirit and having the courage to follow it. In the big things and the little things. The little things may seem silly. If somebody outside heard that I was giving a sermon about PlayStation 5, they might scoff. But how much wasted time have I put into that? I don't know. How many adventures with my children could I have had? Something that seems innocuous. That's ice cream, man. You know, sometimes people come through Trader Joe's and we have those mini conversations. And there'll be like people like getting something sweet. And then we'll both do that kind of joke. Man, I was going with you. And they say, oh, you know, I shouldn't have it. But you know. And then I do that. Hey, man, you know, life's, you don't have ice cream. Life's not worth living. Am I right? The little things. Ice cream is not the end of the world. But the Holy Spirit wants us to eat healthy. Our body needs nutrients. Jude Frazier. Sorry. Sorry, baby. Sorry, she's getting... I'm so sorry, baby. I'll get you a phone case. I promise. Those little things added up. Those big things. Your boss, your wife, your children. Your walk with God. Big things and little things. The Holy Spirit hopes all things. Believes all things. One day I will see my sister again. Why? Because I know in my heart, I love, I hope all things. I believe all things. When I'm in that hope, when I'm in the presence, I'm driving home, somebody pulls in front of me, it's got places to be. It can happen. But then I step out of it. There was an old lady just in the middle of the street today, Mom. I was trying to turn right, and she was just standing there. And my knee-jerk reaction was angry sarcasm. And then I'm getting better. I'm getting better than I was. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to me. You don't know what's going on with her, man. It's 2 seconds of your life to drive around. It's not worth it. The peace that I have seems like a small thing. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to help me in those little things. You may be able to drive. I see people driving like 35 on the freeway, and I think like, how are they so slow? But they have a peace that I don't have. So the Holy Spirit is going to help them in a way that it doesn't need to help. Yeah. That's why the growth is so necessary. That's why the Holy Spirit is so necessary. I will close with this. This week, set aside some time. There's got to be some practical... Dad was really good. Man, I'm dying up here. I got like 2 layers on also. That's a, I don't know about you, but I find setting aside prayer time so difficult. Dad used to pray for 4 hours. I can't even go like 60 seconds without my mind wandering. So he would like print out cards and... And he was good about trying to find different ways to approach prayer. Think about it. Put it in your phone. Make a list. Spending that time is an investment in your happiness and peace. And the more time that you spend, the more time that I spend, the more we will reap. and he'll show you in your life something little, something big. Have the courage to follow it. And he'll lead you into all things, all truth, all peace, all happiness. It's good and it's right and it's the gospel. Iconoclasm? Am I worried about whether or not there's a body up there? Does that help me when I'm driving? Does that help me when I'm talking with my children? The Holy Spirit is what helps me, and he'll help you too. Thank you for being here. Every week I come here and I start off the morning stressed out, trying to wake up my kids, trying to get the things and trying to do all the stuff. And every week I leave blessed. And every time I take a moment to pray, I get that same feeling. Who stands to benefit from our lack of prayer in church? The enemy. And we have everything to gain by fighting him. Be blessed this week. Be encouraged this week. It's good and it's right and it's true. And it's for me and it is for you. I'm going to close in prayer. Please bow your heads. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. You died on the cross to help me. 2,022 years later, after you were born, I can have help on the little things and the big things. Because of what you did for me, I have hope for a brighter tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Help me, Lord. Help me take time to remember it. Give me wisdom, Lord. Wisdom to hear your voice. To know what you would have me do. And give me courage, Jesus. Give me courage to face into that scary thing. Into the uncertainty. Into the ambiguity, Lord. Give me courage to follow your voice where it would lead. Bind the enemy from my life. Bind the enemy from my children's lives, from these good people's lives, sir. Help us to know and follow you and what you would have us do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to stand and close with the first verse of 349. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Thank you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.
How are you, folks?
Yeah. I just have to ask your daddy. Did you do your
I'll give you this week by Wednesday, and 128 a.m. we'll have something on 102, 2, 3, 3, 3, 4, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8,